God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. I have a friend that is a Chicago Cubs fan. You say, is he really? Well, would you lie about such a thing? No. If you're a Cubs fan, you really are a fan. I remember a friend, and not a peer, but a friend, dear friend, a godly and good evangelist named Paul Levine, who often preached at Bill Rice Ranch. And he was a Cubs fan. He was a baseball fan, period, but he was a Cubs fan. And I'm not sure that Dr. Paul ever lived to see the Cubs have a really successful season. My other friend has, but I'm not sure that Dr. Paul ever had. Have you ever been ashamed? Ever been ashamed to be a fan, or ashamed by something you said or someone in your family said? Have you ever been ashamed? Have you ever been put to shame by some expectation that never came to fulfillment? In Psalm 31:1, a Psalm of David, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed." Now, when we think of ashamed or shame, we often think of turning red, of turning crimson, of being embarrassed. But the idea is more of being pale, of having the life drained out of you, perhaps, or the life drained out of your hopes. And so the disappointment is the shame. Now, to be sure, we have problems. In verse 7, the psalmist says, "Consider my trouble," speaking to God. In verse 9, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble." We have problems. And verses 11 through 23 basically delineate some of the problems that the psalmist had. But thank God he has power. In verse 2, he's called the strong rock. That means stability, steadiness, strength. So in Psalm 31, faith is the conviction that God will put to work the goodness he has in store. You will not be left hanging. You will not be ashamed. And this is brought to a head in verse 19, where the psalmist exclaims, "Oh, how great is thy goodness," speaking of God, "which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought," or worked, "for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." So, two things that should be our response to this great, great truth. Number one, don't worry. What God's goodness is enough. He says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness." So whatever your lack, God's goodness is enough. And God's goodness is reserved. He says, "For them, which thou hast laid up for them." Your goodness is laid up. It's stored away for them that fear thee. I don't need to fear life when I fear God. So don't worry. His goodness is great, and his goodness is for you. So don't worry. And then don't hurry. In verse 22, the psalmist says, "You heard when I cried. Thou heardest when I cried." In verse 2 of the psalm, he says, "Deliver me speedily." Well, you know what? When I have a need, I don't want an answer tomorrow. I want an answer now. I mean, quite honestly, when I pray, I can be so impatient, but sometimes I pray out of desperation. I mean, oftentimes I do. And if I'm praying because I need an answer now, not an answer tomorrow. You know, we worry about time, but God is the master of timing. Even time. My perception of time and a 3-year-old's perception of time are totally different. My perception of time and a 93-year-old's is totally different. And I don't know that any of them are really, truly objective. But God's control of time is infinite. So today, faith is the conviction that God will put to work the goodness he has in store. If you need it, God has it, and God has the timing under control.